One of the things, as Mike comes to minister to us, we've been learning about visions and getting those pictures, those glimpses. Holy Spirit, I ask you now that as we approach your table, as those bells ring, as we see you lifted up, as your presence, as that eternal sacrifice is made present to us, that you would give each one of these who've been in this school glimpses of Jesus. So be prepared for that, okay?
Good afternoon. It's so great to be here again. Thank God for just all that He is doing in Selma, Alabama. Let's give thanks to God for that again. Will you do that? As we look to today's gospel reading, we understand that there is a portrayal of God's Father heart to us that gives everyone who's ever been a parent an understanding that before we became a parent, we did not know. You know, before I became a parent, I was an only child. That explains a lot to a lot of people that know me. Everybody smile. But, you know, I was much loved by my parents. I had an intact family. They loved me. And as a matter of fact, my parents were told that they were barren and would not have children. And they were married for over 8 years, getting ready to begin the process of adoption when my mother came up pregnant. And I was born. And I want to say to you that when you finally become a parent yourself, the parable of the father who would give good gifts to his children becomes much more alive to you. Because you begin to realize that there's very few people in the whole world that you love as much as you do your children. Of course, unless it's your grandchildren. If you know what I'm talking about. But there comes this thing that Jesus is, first he's talking about going to this friend's house. And the English translations do really an injustice to the portraying of the action of the friend who keeps going to the door and knocking and saying, "Will you lend me these three loaves?" It's not impudence. It's not a sense of any kind of bad attitude or bad action. It's actually the term boldness in the confidence of the relationship. In other words, the friend goes to the other friend and even, you know, inconveniences him because the relationship will not be threatened by the boldness of the request because of the depth of the relationship. And that's, I mean, Jack Hayford calls it the prayer of importunity. That is, at an importune time, at a time that's not the best time, we can still go and request that. You know, the one thing that I've come to understand about Jesus' prayer in John 17, which, by the way, when you get stuck in your prayer life, just go back to John 17 and just read the prayer of Jesus to the Father. And one of the greatest revelations in that is that Jesus says about us and our relationship with the Father two very significant things. The first thing he says is that the same glory that the Father gave Jesus, he gives to us. So think about that for a moment. All of the glory that Jesus portrayed in this life as a human being on earth, he has now allowed, the Father has put that upon us. So we walk in the same glory. So first of all, we are all carriers of the glory of God. We're glory carriers. Turn to somebody and say, "You're a glory carrier." And so am I. And then say, "And so am I." So as I said yesterday in Habakkuk chapter 2, when it says, "And the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea," how does it happen? It doesn't happen through a glory cloud. It doesn't happen because all the Christian TV networks have got their satellites all over the world, no matter what they say. Everybody smile. It's about God's people believing what God says about them and carrying the glory into every nook and cranny of this globe. And it's happening right now at a great exponential rate. So first of all, we're glory carriers. The very same glory that was on Jesus is on us right now. Number two, he says, the very same quality of love that the Father loved Jesus, he loves us. Now, once you allow that to dig deep into your heart, it begins to give you a subtleness about the way the Father looks at you, his attitude towards you, the way that he loves you. How many of you believe that Jesus was absolutely the apple of the Father's eye? I mean, he was God's favorite. I mean, he just was, right? Is that right? He was. Well, guess what? So are you. I need to tell you guys something today. I'm God's favorite. Now, you know what you need to say to me? I'm God's favorite. That's right. So you need to realize that no matter what your history has been or what you feel like the present state of your relationship with, the quality of the love that the Father is pouring out upon you is the same quality of the love that he poured out on Jesus. And there is no constraining of it. There is no capping off of it. There is no narrowing of it. It continues to pour out upon us with great love and joy. And so therefore, according to this scripture in Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13, you and I need to understand that we can literally ask anything of him. Now, I have a granddaughter, 14-month-old granddaughter, and I've already raised three kids, so I'm like, what am I doing with the baby in my house again? But it's just there. It's just there. And so there's some things, as I back off and let my daughter raise my granddaughter, and I don't do it, I begin to see some things. For instance, you know, when my little granddaughter wants something, and her mom says no, and she says it in a nice way, immediately my granddaughter flops on the floor, buries her head in the carpet and starts to cry, you know. And most of the things that my daughter says no to her about are things like, you know, tearing off a piece of the furniture or trying to take the dog's food and eat it herself or, things like that, you know. Things that we need to somehow say to our children, no, I'm sorry, you can't do that. As much as you think that is the greatest thing in the world to do, eating the kibbles and bits out of the dog's bowl is not exactly the best thing for you. So there is a sense of protection and wisdom that goes on in that type of a thing. And so even in the moments that we pray for somebody and pray about something and we feel a sense of either delay or even a no from the Father, there comes this thing that then we have to kind of take a step up and say, wait a minute, the same quality that the Father loved Jesus, he loves me. And I believe that Jesus got his prayers answered. As a matter of fact, Bill Johnson, who's the pastor of Bethel Church in Redding, California, makes a pretty bold statement. I'm still trying to work through it a little bit, but what I found, it's pretty right. He says that Jesus never addressed the subject of unanswered prayer because he didn't believe there ever was one. Take that in for a moment. So then it becomes, once again, not so much about the little details, although God is concerned about the little details, but ultimately the frame and the context of our lives is set in this glorious love, this glorious care, this glorious thing where Jesus says, if you, being evil, would give good gifts to your children, how much more? Say those three words. How much more? And as I said yesterday, when we come to the Eucharist, we recognize that this celebration that we come to is part of the much more that Jesus provided for his disciples, and therefore for us, so that we could always stay connected to the power of that love, to the power of his provision, to the power of his heart for us that is ever beating, is is ever beating for us. So that, one thing, we've got to understand something. There are some things that we, and by the way, I belong to an organization where the founder of it, Randy Clark, wrote a book called There Is More. But sometimes we need to remember again what's already been given to us and begin to really steward that properly. Because there's a time that we are asking for more and more and more, and the Father says, well, wait a minute, I've already given you a bunch of this, and I need for you to work through this a little bit. I need to see how you're going to work with what I've already given you. That's what a wise father does. Anybody who's wise does that. And we are a part of a family whose father is the wisest that has ever existed in anywhere of creation. So when there seems to be a delay in asking for things, it may be, number one, we may already have been provided that which we're asking for. Number two, we must trust in this one that who loves us with the same quality love that he loved his son Jesus, and that his idea for us is always for our best. It's always for our good. It's amazing that his wonderful hand continues to turn everything around for our good because we love him and we're called according to his purpose. And his purpose, according to Romans 8, 28 and 29, is that he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his favorite, so that he might be the firstborn among many favorites. So today, I just encourage you, close your eyes. Allow the imagination, the creative imagination that is within you, to just imagine again, afresh and anew, how awesome it is to be part of a family of a father who's committed to your best above and beyond anything you could ask or think. Realize the quality of that great love is never constrained towards you, but is always, always, always the same. That no matter how well you perform or how bad you miss it, his opinion about you never changes. And when he thinks about you, he's always in a good mood. In Jesus' name.